نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلاة ربي وسلامه عليه أما بعد فبفضل الله تعالى ومنه جل جلاله He brought us today, inshallah ta'ala, to advise one another and remind one another of exactly what is our reality. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala taba'an has created us with purpose and intent, and that is that we worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the servant, regardless what he does, whether he accepts it or rejects it, he's in a continuous journey to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that journey will only come to an end when He subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that it will come to an end, but it will come to an end. The only problem is that we don't know where our stop is. But He's told us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the path of guidance. And He's told us there's only one of two destinations and there is not a third. And He's informed us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, of what is required to obtain the ultimate goal and His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is His paradise, jalla jalalu. And He mentioned an advice to all of mankind, the advice of all of the prophets and messengers, from the first of them to the last of them. There was not a single one except that he advised every single person that was before him with the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fear him. And for that reason, time and time again we find in the book of Allah where he addresses the believers and says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, taqillah, fear Allah. And he advised the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhan nabi, ittaqullah. He advised the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remain and be upright, an example of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the taqwa of Allah? Except the actual title of today's reminder be evening, He subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was a statement of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala an. He was asked, what is it to fear Allah? He said, taqwa Allah, al-khawf min al-jaleel, wal-amal bil-tanzeel, wal-rida bil-qaleel, wal-isti'dadi lil-rahil. The taqwa of Allah azza wa jal is to be fearful of the Almighty, to act upon the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran and the Sunnah. Because that purpose that we've been created for, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it necessitates from us action. It's not that we merely say that we believe in the paradise of Allah azza wa jalla and we do not work towards it. It's not that we merely say that we believe in the fire and yet we are doing everything that will lead us to it and to our ultimate destruction. Rather, that iman billahi ta'ala, it necessitates from us that we worship him upon that legislation and with that which he subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. So it's to fear the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's to act upon the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be sufficed with that which is little, so long as it be halal, you're happy. And it's to be sufficed with the qadr of Allah, that which he has decreed. And the qadr of Allah azza wa jal encompasses three things. That which he has commanded and prohibited is from his qadr that you have to be patient upon, that you are pleased with it. That which from the qadr of Allah azza wa jal necessitates that you be patient with is that which he tests you subhanahu wa ta'ala with trials and tribulation, and that which he has allotted for you regardless. Like this is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then ultimately he said radiallahu ta'ala an, وَالِاسْتِعْدَادِ الرَّحِيلِ, and is to make the preparation for that ultimate journey which is certain. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala, the grandson of Umar ibn Khattab, when he became the Khalifa, he wrote out to the people messages advising them. He said, أُوْسِيكَ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ, I advise you with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَّتِي لَا يُقْبَلْ غَيْرُهَا, and it's the taqwa of Allah that is as such. There is no righteous deed that you could possibly do except that it has to be based upon the taqwa of Allah, and only then will it be accepted. وَلَا يُرْحَمْ إِلَّا أَهْلُهَا, and nobody will have mercy allotted to them other than the people of taqwa. وَلَا يُثِيبْ إِلَّا عَلَيْهَا, and the people are not rewarded except with it. And then he says, فَإِنَّ الْوَاعِذُونَ بِهَا كَثِيرٌ, because those individuals that advise each other with the fear of Allah azza wa jalla, they are many. And then he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, A reminder to us all that you understand the mindset of the Salaf when it came to worship and their personal accountability. He says, وَالْعَامِلِينَ بِهَا قَلِيلٌ. But those that actually act upon the fear of Allah and that preparation for that certainty are few. He said, أُوصِيكَ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى خَلْفَ مِنْ كُلِّ مَنْ سَعَى. He said, because it is the fear of Allah Azwajal that is behind and that which pushes everybody that seeks the destination of his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala through righteous good deeds. وَلَيْسَ مِنَ التَّقْوَةِ مِنَ الْخَلْفِ. And nobody is from those that have the taqwa of Allah who begins to, you know, slip and go back and transgress Allah ta'ala musta'an. So when this was the case, hafidhakum Allah ta'ala, look at the advice of our messenger. Because he advised with the taqwa of Allah and he said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an, the most amazing of statements, the reality of this preparation that we should all be in, that the servant should place in right between his eyes. He said to Mu'adh, ittaqillah haythuma kunt, fear Allah azza wa jal wherever you are, in every situation that you're in. When you are happy, when you are sad, when you are tested, when you are granted and you are given, fear Allah azza wa jal in every situation and scenario. Be mindful of him jalla jalalu. Then he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because naturally we fall into sin and naturally we fall into mistake. But he gave us a way out and a solution. Gave us something that we will have solace in and hope in. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاتْبِعَ السَّيَّأَةُ السَّيَّأَةَ الْحَسَنَةُ تَمْهُحَا. Follow up the sin that you may perform and that misdeed that has come and emitted from you with a righteous good deed, perhaps it will wipe it away. Then he said, and treat the people with the best of manners. And in this regard, he mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the three rights. The right of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala that we fear him and worship him alone. The right of the servant that he does his utmost to prepare for this preparation and this journey that he's upon. And the right to the creation that he does not oppress them and he does not harm them. As Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, فَإِنَ الْإِنسَانِ يَجِبْ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَحْتَاطْ لِنَفْسِهِ. That it's upon man in reality to be tremendously diligent and cautious in his affair. And he does so, وَأَلَّا يُطِيلَ الْأَمَلِ, that he's not giving in to having long hopes of this worldly life. وَأَنْ يَعْمَلْ لِلْآخِرَةِ, and that he strives to work for the hereafter. وَكَأَنَّهُ يَمُوتُ قَرِيبًا لِأَجِلْ أَنْ يَسْتَعِدْ لَهَا. And he does so knowing and acting as if he's going to die soon. So therefore he prepares. So prepare. And what should that preparation look like? Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions in Majmu' al-Fatawa. He said, وَلَا بُدْ لِلْعَبْدْ مِنْ أَوْقَاتْ يَنْفَرِدْ فِيهَا. And wallahi, this advice to myself. He said that the servant, he needs moments of seclusion, moments of privacy, where you are alone and you are by yourself, that you make dua for your salvation, and that you ask Allah Azza wa Jal for your needs, and that you pray and you worship him subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتَفَكُّرِهِ وَمُحَاسَبَتِهِ, and that you ponder over this creation and your existence, and that you bring yourself to account. وَلِإِصْلَاحِ قَلْبِهِ, and he's in need of times of privacy, that he will try his best to bring about the rectification of his heart. And in this regard, the messenger advised his companions, and he advised his ummah and did not fall short, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said to Tariq ibn Abdullah al-Muharabi, radiallahu ta'ala an, who said that, qala li Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ya Tariq. He said, O Tariq, ista'id lil maut, prepare for death, qabla nuzul il maut, before death comes to you. And the hadith is sahih. So how can one prepare? Ista'idu laha bin muhasaba at-tama. Prepare for this ultimate journey that we're upon with the ultimate accountability. And that's why he said subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hashr, أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. He said, O you who believe, fear Allah and let every single soul look to that which it prepares for tomorrow. And pay attention to the wording here. He addresses all of the believers because all of us are in absolute need. And he reminded us, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, and look to that which you have presented for tomorrow. And that is the joke of it all. We live in this dunya and we get attached, get a little bit emotional. And we feel that it's going to last forever, but he refers to that which is literally forever, the eternity of the hereafter. That is tomorrow. Because today, the end of it will never come, possibly. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Then he reminded us again, emphasizing our need in that preparation. Brothers, come forward, please. Make space, barakallah. And he said, Jalla Jalalu, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to the words of Imam al-Sirdi rahimahullah ta'ala, and he says, then indeed Allah Jalla Jalalu, inside of this verse, he commands his believing servants with that which necessitates iman altogether, which is wajib upon you as a believer, is that we are from those that uphold the limits and the boundaries of the fear of Allah. Then he said something tremendously important. Not only do you do that publicly, but one does so privately. And he does so in every circumstance that he finds himself in. So therefore, he looks at the affair of Allah Azza wa Jalla in his command. And he looks at his prohibitions. And he looks at his legislation. And he looks at the limits of his religion, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he looks and he sees, what is it that is upon me? And what is it that I will be accountable for? And he acts accordingly. And then he said, so he looks of that which is of benefit to him and that which will harm him. Fi yawm al-qiyamah, upon the day of judgment. فَإِنَّهُمْ إِذَا جَعَلُوا الْآخِرَةِ نَسْبَ عَيْنَيْهِمْ وَقِبْلَةِ قُلُوبِهِمْ. He said, and had it been the case that the servants they had placed, that standing in front of him, and that accountability which is he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, right between their eyes, and they made it the direction that their hearts are constantly turned towards, وَهْتَمُّ بِالْمَقَامِ بِهَا, then they will truly give it the right that it deserves. وَاشْتَهَدُوا, and they would certainly strive, فِي كَثَرْتِ الْأَعْمَالِ الْمَوْصُولَ إِلَيْهَا, and they will strive in the performing of those righteous good deeds that will allow them to meet Allah Azza wa Jalla yawm al-qiyamah. وَتَسْفِيَتِهَا, and they will purify those good deeds, مِنْ قَوَاتِعِ وَالْعَوَائِقِ, from everything that will prevent a servant from performing righteous good deeds, or being stopped or turned away from them, or perhaps even being turned away and stopped in his ultimate journey to Allah, should we place this between our eyes. Then he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, and if they acted upon that, then they should know that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khabir, is the all-knowing. Nothing escapes him. Nothing is hidden from him, from their actions. So how dare they and how can they possibly not act upon his religion? So he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that regard, because of this, made it upon them that they not only strive, but they strive with determination. Then he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that this verse is certainly the origin in the accountability of the servant of himself from that which is yani, a must that everybody takes it into account. He says, so if you see, he says, then stop yourself and repent. And if you're from those, perhaps you have spent your life turned away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then cut yourself off from what is leading you to be far removed from the deen of Allah. Stop it now. Behave yourself. Then he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, if he sees from himself, and this is our reality, even if you fast and you pray and you do righteous good deeds, you're still actually muqassir, you're still actually any deficient. So if he sees from himself deficiency in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he may perfect for you those righteous good deeds, that you may perform them diligently. And then he said, and when that is the case, he said, take that which you perform from righteous actions, weigh your actions that you perform, that prayer that you have missed, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And let's do some muhasabah right now. 5 daily prayers. Where have we been for Fajr? 5 daily prayers. Where have we been for Isha and Asr? Last Ramadan slipped through our fingers. We have no clue if the Ramadan that is before us is to come and it will meet us. And when the servant, he sees his actions, perhaps he done something from goodness. How should he be? Except that he weighs the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla that is upon him and the reality of those righteous good deeds. And that he realizes that even if he was to perform those righteous good deeds, he will never truly fulfill the right of Allah. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ يُوجِبْ لَهُ الْحَيَاءَ بِلَا مَحَالَةَ. And when that was the case, the servant was certainly pushed towards having shyness of his Lord. So استعدوا لها بعدم غروب الدنيا الفانية فيشغلك عن الآخرة الباقية. So prepare for this journey back to him subhanahu wa ta'ala by not being deceived by this worldly life which will come to an end, from that which will busy you from the hereafter that has no end. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described exactly what it is for Allah's guidance to touch you, and what it is for the light of Iman to enter into your heart, and what effect it should have upon you, Ya Abdullah. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as appears in Tirmidhi, إِذَا دَخَلَ النُّورِ الْقَلْبِ إِنْفَسَحَ وَانْشَرَحْ. That when the light of Iman enters into the heart, all of a sudden the chest, the hearts of the servants are expanded, and they're able to now bear this light that is inside of it. And they said to him, قَالُوا وَمَا عَلَامَةُ ذَٰلِكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is the sign that the hearts are being guided, O Messenger of Allah? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الْإِنَابَ إِلَى دَارِ الْخُلُودِ وَالتَّجَافِ عَنْ دَارِ الْغُرُورِ وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادِ لِلْمَوْتِ قَبَلَ نُزُولِهِ. He said, the sign that you are guided, Ya Abdullah, is the fact that you are from those that are constant in your return to the abode of the hereafter that has no end. And you are not deceived, and you have no care and concern for this worldly life that will come to an end, that is deceptive. Then he said, وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادِ لِلْمَوْتِ. And that you prepare for death before it comes to you. And Ibn Qayyim, he commented upon this, and he mentions as appears in Zadul Ma'ad. He said, so therefore the servant, his chest is expanded towards the right, the performing of righteous good deeds, in accordance to that light that enters into his heart. And this light in reality is physical as well as spiritual. The same way the darkness of sin and transgression and being far removed from Allah Azza wa Jal likewise is physical. And in this regard, look at the statements of the Salaf. The Malik ibn Dinar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Arba min alamati shiqa, that there are 4 signs that you are from those that are destroyed. May Allah save us. He said, Qaswatul Qulub, that the hearts, they become hardened, unable to obtain a reminder. He said, Wajumudul Uyun, and the eyes have become, you can say, stiff. But what is intended here is that they do not cry and they do not weep from the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal or in the hope of His reward. وَطُولُ الْأَمَلِ, and they have been overtaken by having long hopes in the worldly life, believing that they will live forever. وَالْحِرُسُ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا, and that they are diligent to earn the dunya. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ فَمَا أَصْبَرُهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ. How patient were the people to earn the fire? How patient were the people to earn the fire? انتهى كلامه رحمه الله تعالى. Then that which a person he prepares with is استعداد لها. Is that one prepares for this journey back to Allah عز وجل by understanding the reality of the dunya. And he said, جل جلاله, appears in Surah Al-Taha 131. ولا تمدن عيناك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم زهرة الحياة الدنيا لنفتنهم فيه ورزق ربك خير وأبقى. He said, and do not allow your eyes to constantly gaze at that which we have granted the disbelievers from the worldly life and its joys and its bliss, in that which we have caused to be a trial for them. And the provision of your Lord is that which is better and more everlasting. Imam al-Sa'di, he says, so he said, do not allow your eyes to be cast upon the worldly life. And this is the problem. This is the problem. You don't have a problem organizing your time, going to gym, going to work. You never miss that. There is no reason the servant of Allah Azza wa Jal misses the prayer. Wallahi, there's no reason. There is not a fathomable reason. The purpose of our creation, we are not fulfilling it. The obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are lagging behind. There is no reason. Except that we have been touched with something from the love of this worldly life. And we began to forget that which is with Allah. So he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not allow your eyes to gaze upon that which they have. And certainly he says here, not only are you not allowed to look at it, he says, don't be from those that continually look at the worldly life. Mustahsinan ila ahwali dunya wal mutamatti'ina biha. That you look at the joys and the bliss of the worldly life and those who are enjoying it. Now a person might say to himself, what's wrong with that which is halal? This is what you hear all the time. Nobody's making haram that which Allah has made halal. The problem is when you sat there on that Instagram, when you sat there on that Snapchat, on that TikTok, Big Bot Madari Mahu, wasting your life looking at these people, it had an effect upon you. It cut you off from your reality, and he says it here. So when you looked at them repeatedly, in their joy and their bliss and in their luxury, and you looked at those that were enjoying what they were enjoying, look what Imam al-Sa'di said. What is it they are not to look at? He said, so do not look at that which they have. Min ma'akil wal masharib al-ladhida wal malabis al-fakhira wal buyut al-muzakhrafa wal nisa al-mujammala. He said, do not look at that delicious food. He said, do not look at those luxurious clothes, those houses that they have that are beautified, and those women that are beautified. He said, don't look at them. And don't repeat in your looking at them, because this is merely the joy of the worldly life. And nobody is deceived by it other than these people. And it's these people that have been deceived. And he says, وَتَأْخُذْ إِعْجَابًا بِأَبَصَارِ الْمُخْرَضِينَ. Nobody was taken to constantly looking at those things, except he was from those that were deceived by them. So he desired them. And when he desired them, what happened? It eventually cut him off from the hereafter. وَقَوْمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And he was from those individuals, Allah Ta'ala musta'an, that oppressed themselves. And he said, and how quickly all of that it leaves and is left behind. How quickly all of that will come to an end. And in reality, it will be the cause and the reason of their death. And you could even say their murder. Because it kills a person. Loving the worldly life, not being from those that strive for the hereafter, it will kill you before you realize it. Because from the hearts of those that are living, full of iman, full of taqwa and full of ibadah. And from amongst the hearts are those that are full of that which is, and from deception in reality. And he described what is that reality. He said it was nothing but a trial for them. So he made it, subhanahu wa ta'ala, a trial. Then he said, so all of those things will not benefit you. إِذَا قَدِمُوا فِي الْقِيَامَةِ. When you will be brought forth to stand in front of Allah, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. وَإِنَّمَا جَعَلَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِتْنَةً وَاخْتِبَارًا. And Allah made it as a trial and a test for the people. Now, he says, وَلِيَعْلَمْ مَنْ يَقِفْ عِنْدَهَا وَيَغْتَرُّ بِهَا. In order that he may make known those that stopped at the worldly life and its joys and its glitters, and he was deceived by them. And then he said, and it is that day, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ حَيْثُ لَا تَنْفَعَ النِّدَامَةِ. Is the day where no form of regret will be able to save you. And that's why he described it. They will come to an end. And he said something amazing, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرِزْقُ رَبِّكَ. And the provision of your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is better. And he said that the provision of your Lord is two things. He says, min al-ilmi wal-iman. Is to have knowledge of the deen of Allah azza wa jal, and then to have iman. And then he topped off by saying, wa haqa'iqu a'mal as-salihah. A naturalization and reality of righteous good deeds. That is the immediate reward of your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and provision. As for the provision that has not yet come, then is the provision of the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla that do not come to an end in paradise. والعيش السليم في جوار رب الرحيم. And that the servant will live the good life right next to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, Jalla Jalalu. And he mentioned it and described it to be khair. He said this is better than that which they have from the kathara to fajra, both in its description and in its reality. And its abaqa is that which lasts longer. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And for that reason it was said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ عِبَادًا فُطَنَا تَرَكُوا الدُّنْيَا وَخَافُوا الْفِتَنَا نَذَرُوا فِيهَا فَلَمَّا عَلِمُوا أَنَّهَا لَيْسَ لِحَيٍّ وَطَنَا جَعَلُوهَا لُجَّةً وَاتَّخَذُوا صَالِحَ الْأَعْمَالِ فِيهَا سُفُنَا. That the poet said that to Allah Azza wa Jal belongs the most clever of servants. They looked at the worldly life and they feared its temptations. They looked at it and they realized that this is a place without doubt you cannot survive in, because you're not from here. This is not your home. Your home is the Akhirah. Your home is where Adam descended from. Your home is that which Allah Azza wa Jalla promised the Muttaqeen. Is that which He promised the people of Taqwa. Is that abode that He promised the prophets, the Siddiqeen, the righteous and the martyrs alike. So they made this worldly life to them. And they took it upon its reality that it's lujatan. It's like a barrier that is before them that is unpassable. It's like an ocean, you could say. And when they saw that, they made their righteous good deeds a vessel in which they're able to sail right over this ocean of temptation, and return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there appears that narration of Ibn Umar, although it has some weaknesses, meaning is absolutely correct. That a man, he asked, Ayy mu'min afdal, who is the best of the believers? And it was said, Ahsanuhum khuluqa, the best of them in manners. Then it was said, Fa'ayy mu'min akyas, and who is the cleverest of the servants? And it was said, Aktharuhum lil mawti dhikra, those that remember Allah, they remember death the most. Wa ahsanuhum lima ba'dahu isti'dada, wa ula'ika al akyas. Oh, Akyas. And it was said, and after that is the one who perfected his preparation for what is after death. These are the cleverest of the servants. And Mubarak Furi, rahmatullah ta'ala, he mentioned in the similar narration that he said, Al-Kays, man dana nafsah, the clever servant is the one that brings himself to account. Wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. And he performs and he works hard and strives for that which is after death. And it's true. And in some of the sub-narrations he said, حَاسَبُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, they brought themselves to account. قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا, it was said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, bring yourselves to account before you are brought to account. Then they said, وَتَزَيَّنُوا لِعَرَضِ الْأَكْبَرِ, and beautify yourselves, adorn yourselves for that ultimate presentation, when you will be presented in front of Allah Jalla Jalalu. Wear the best of garment that you can wear in this life, so perhaps you'll wear it in the hereafter and be honored. And it was said that the best of garment is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who prepares for that ultimate return, man yasta'idu laha bi khawf min adh-dhunub, is the one that he prepares for that journey to Allah Azza wa Jalla by being fearful of his sins. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned that certainly only the servants of Allah that are from his beloved ones are those that they feared their sins, and they feared that they will be deceived by them, and they feared that they will be caught up by them and with them, and they feared that perhaps they will be by way of their sins from the wretched cursed ones. And he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminding us of those who were not fearful of sin, were not fearful of bid'ah, not fearful of shirk. أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ, are they to be free? And they act in impunity, not afraid of the plot of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against them. And Ibn Qayyim, he said that in his origin, this is concerning the fujjar and the kuffar, the criminals and the disbelievers. Because it's true. They act as if there is no Qiyamah. They act as if there is no accountability with Allah. And the deception is, they've made for themselves these kangaroo courts in a worldly life from their legislation. They have declared what is halal and haram. They say that you are to be judged by 12 of your peers. And they have a judiciary system and a penal code. Yet they believe at the same time that Rabbul Arbab and the King of Kings, Jalla Jalalu, there is no recompense with him and judgment, and how oppressive they are. Then he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the people, they began to differ in accordance to their fear of their sins. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. So the servant that he prepares for the hereafter and that final journey to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one that understands the reality of time. And he understands what is the reality of his life and what he needs to do to fill it with that which will be of benefit to him. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he struck a lovely example taken from the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ibrahim. And he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, as-sanatu shajara wa shuhur furu'uha wa ayyamu aqsanuha wa sa'atu awraqaha aw araqaha wa anfasu thamaruha. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the years that one is allotted are like trees, multiple trees. And the months that one is given are like the branches, the larger branches of those trees. And the days that you have before you in this worldly life are like the smaller branches upon those trees. And he said, then the hours that you have in this life that you are given are like the leaves upon the trees. And every single breath that you have is an indication of the fruit of those trees. But what happens to trees, ikhwan? The leaves, they fall. Sah? Time, it goes. And that's what Hassan Basri rahimahullah ta'ala said, كُلُّ مَا ذَهَبَ يَوْمْ ذَهَبَ بَعْدُكَ. Ya Ibn Adam, he said, oh son of Adam, إِنَّمَا أَنْت. You're nothing other than بِضْعُ الْأَيَامِ, a series of allotted days. Every day that passes, part of you has left and will never return. And then he said, فَمَنْ كَانَ أَنْفَاسُهُ فِي الطَّاعَةِ فَثَمَرَةُ شَجَرَتِهِ طَيِّبَةً. He says, whoever's tree, Avon, he said, whoever spends every breath that he has upon the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he's like the one who has a goodly tree that bears goodly fruit. And then he says, وَمَنْ كَانَتْ فِي مَعْصِيَةً فَثَمَرَتُهُ حَنْظَرُ. As for the one who spent his days, months, weeks, hours, seconds in sin, then the fruit of his tree will be like the hanza, the awfully, repugnantly bitter. Yani, it's like a lemon-looking creature. Yani, little fruit. It looks like a watermelon, but small, but it's quite citrusy and it's awful. Then he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, فَإِنَّمَا يَكُونَ الْجِدَادِ يَوْمَ الْمِعَادِ. But the problem is that the day that you will be able to pluck the fruit of your tree is on the day of judgment. فَعِنْدَ الْجِدَادِ يَتَبَيَّنْ حُلُوِ الثِّمَارِ مِمُرِّهَا. And only when you stand in front of Allah يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ will you realize, is your tree, is it sweet? Or is it that bitter, awful fruit? Then he described the reality of the worship of Allah for the one that prepares for that journey back to him. وَالْإِخْلَاصُ وَالْتَوْحِيدِ شَجَرَةٌ فِي الْقَلْبِ فُرُوعُهَا أَعْمَالٌ وَثَمَرُهَا طِيبُ الْحَيَاةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَنَعِيمُ الْمُقِيمِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And then he said, and his sincerity to Allah and the worship of Allah alone without partners, there's like a tree that is inside of the hearts. And he said that its branches are the righteous good deeds that you make and you perform. And the fruits of that tree is that you will live a good life. Not the good life of these kafaratul fajara, that you bury and you immerse yourself in every perceivable sin just to distance yourself from Allah Azza wa Jalla and accountability. Trying to fill that void that you have of not knowing Allah and turning away from Allah Azza wa Jalla. La. This is the good life. To worship Allah. To obey the messenger. To be from those that will stand in front of him yawm al-qiyamah and reap the goodly reward and of that tree. So he said, you will have a good life inside of the worldly life. And in the hereafter, you will be returned back to the bliss and the joy that has no end. Then he gave an example The same way that the fruit of Jannah, la maqtu'a wa la mamnu'a, fa thamaratu tawheed wal ikhlas fi dunya kadhalik. The same way that the fruit of the hereafter will not be hidden and they will not be prevented from the servants. They'll be easy to reach. The one who is upon ikhlas, sincerity to Allah, and upon tawheed, he's able to obtain all of the reward and the fruits of being upon that sincerity to Allah in the worldly life. Then he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the opposite applies. He said, وَالشِّرْك وَالْكَذِبُ وَالْرِيَاءُ شَجَرَةٌ فِي الْقَلْبِ ثَمُرَهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا الْخَوْفِ وَالْهَمِّ وَالْغَمِّ وَضِيقُ الصَّدَرِ وَظُلْمَةُ الْقَلْبِ. And he said, the association of partners with Allah, and to lie and belie the truth, and to be insincere and to show off, all of those things are like likewise a tree that is inside of the heart. Its fruit is nothing other than that the servant is overtaken by fear, anxiety, depression, and his heart is constricted, and he's covered and shrouded in darkness inside of his heart. Then he says, وَثَمُرَهَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ, and the reward of such a person, and this tree that he has planted now, in the hereafter, when he goes to reach for that which he has sown, and he reaps that which he has sown, that thamara of his, for this individual, is zakum. It will be the tree of zakum itself, wa adhabun muqim, and that never-ending punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, and these two trees are explained in detail by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ibrahim. So the servant who prepares for the hereafter and prepares upon this journey is the one who fears for himself shirk. He fears for himself nifaq, hypocrisy. He fears for himself that he will fall into that which Allah has prohibited. And look at our father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. He made dua to Allah Jalla Jalalu, and he is the father of every prophet that came after him. He said, in fear of himself, وَاجْنُبَنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Oh Allah, save me and my children, that we may worship these false deities and gods that the people worship besides Allah. And it's true deception that we think that we sit here in Darul Kufr. We spend 15 years in formal education, secular education. We are thrown into a madras or a duksi or whatever you want to call it, for 2 odd hours on a weekend. And this is what we do to our children. And somehow we think that they're going to come out salihin, when they have not seen in themselves, in their parents, in their household, in their sisters, in their siblings, nothing from the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. They have seen free mixing and music and the TV and the internet, unshackled desires. And then you have the kafaratul fajara. Upon every given opportunity, they will snatch your children from you, and they will take your religion, because they will never be happy until you are like them, like he said, وَلَنْتَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودِ وَلَنَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَتُهُمْ. The Jews and Christians will never be pleased with you until you follow their path and their way. And is that a disbelief? And is that a following lowly desires? And we'll come to this shortly. But look at the MBI, how they feared for themselves, and they feared for their children. And this is how we should be. He said, جَلَّ جَلَالُكُ أَنفُسَكُمْ أَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourselves and your families from the fire. So he, the father, prays, what about the children? What about the wife? What about the husband? وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And he said likewise, يعني إبراهيم عليه السلام, رَبِّ جَلَ هَذَا بَلَدَ آمِنَا. He said, oh Allah, make the land of Mecca, make it safe and secure. Then he said, وَجْنُبَنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدِ الْأَصْنَامِ. And save me and my offspring that we be from those that worship those false deities. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَخْوَفْ مَا أَخَافَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَشْرْكُ الْأَصْغَرِ فَسُئِلَ عَنْهُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فَقَالَ الرِّيَا. And he said that which I fear the most for you is shirk al-asghar, the minor shirk, or the lesser shirk, because nothing, none of it is minor really. And he was asked, what is that? He says, is that you show off. And this is what we find nowadays, sadly, with social media. The people cannot pray and cannot fast or give sadaqah, except that they take pictures of themselves and they share it with the people. What is it that you intend with this? If it's the case that you intended the encouragement of the people upon goodness, perhaps you have some kind of leeway. But the origin of even yani really picture taking is that it's Muharram. Allah Ta'ala musta'an. So be fearful of shirk. Be fearful of nifaq. And like this, the Salaf, they narrated, as in Ibn Abi Mulaika, he said, I met 30 of the companions of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All of them used to fear for themselves nifaq. They all feared for themselves hypocrisy. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And it was said on the authority of Sa'id ibn Amir. He said about Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said he was a man that used to stand at night in prayer. And nobody would know that he was at night in prayer, crying over his sins, hoping in the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he met the people in the morning, he would raise his voice in order that they did not know that he spent the night standing in prayer. And then he said, and this is our example from the Salaf, فَالسَّلَفْ كَانُوا يَخَافُونَ أَعْمَالَهُمَ الصَّالِحَةِ كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ عَفْوًا. That the Salaf used to hide their righteous good deeds. كَمَا نُخْفِي أَعْمَالُنَا السَّيِّئَةِ. They used to hide their good deeds the way we hide our sins. And ultimately, that which will really be the preparation, as you've already heard, is the remembering of death. Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala said about the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْر هَذِمْ أَلَّذَّاتِ. يعني be plentiful in your remembrance of that which is the destroyer of all pleasures. وَفِي لَفْدٍ هَازِمْ, the conqueror of all pleasures. وَفِي لَفْدٍ هَادِمْ, the destroyer of all pleasures, which is death. So he says here, rahimahullah ta'ala, that when one he remembers death, he remembers that the worldly life will come to an end. So therefore, his heart looks for purpose and looks for somewhere to go, because now the heart has no abode. When you look at this life, you're not from here. And this is what Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, and really don't have time. Bukhari, he mentioned in Surah Al-Hakum Takathur, Allah Azza wa Jalla said that you have been overcome by heedlessness, by your amassing of wealth, but you will never be able to obtain a reminder, and you will never be able to remove yourself from that heedlessness. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you visit the graves. Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala said something amazing. He said the same way that the servant visited the grave, he returned back to his house. Sah? He says the reality is the one that visits the grave, let him remember inside of this dunya is ziyara. You're upon here upon visitation. And you are going back to your house, either to the Jannah of Allah or to the fire. So prepare. Prepare for that which you build in the hereafter. Which of the two will be your abode and home? وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And it's the remembering of death. وَفَقَكُمْ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. That the Imams of the Salaf, they were diligent upon. And Ibn Hibban al-Busti, he said, رحمه الله تعالى, that the clever servant is the one that remembers death in every opportunity and time. So he's not deceived by the worldly life and its causes. And he says, and that is because death is a cup that is passed around. Everybody will drink from it, and everybody will taste its taste, and it's a must. So when that was the case, there is no time to forget the remembrance of Allah. He said, there is no time to not be aware of the fact that is upon you and it's coming towards you. Because it's like the one who has an appointment. He prepares for his appointment. He sets his alarm, you could say. He makes sure that you're where you need to be in order to meet your appointment. He says, like this is the one who remembers death. Then he said something amazing. He says, how many of the people, they live their entire lives between their families, honored and in safety, granted good health and provision. Perhaps they were from those individuals that were considered to be from the intellectuals and from the best of the society, the higher echelons of society. He has no difficulty in his provision and in his worldly life. But the minute that one individual came forth, who was an oppressive ruler, for example, he came and he ruled over him with his oppression, and he snatched from him everything that he had from joy and bliss, and none of his wealth, or his family, or anything that he had with him in that worldly life was able to save him. And he says, and obviously to Allah belongs the best of examples. He says, so what about the one who is the King of Kings? The one who is Al-Jabbar, the conqueror of all. Al-Qahhar, the one subhanahu wa ta'ala who's irresistible. La yusala' ma yaf'al. Wahum yusaloon, he's not questioned what he does. And they will be questioned. What if he was to touch you subhanahu wa ta'ala with what he decrees? And like this, the clever one is constant in his remembrance of that. And from the greatest of that which you prepared yani for death with, it's the performing of that which is wajib upon us from the fara'id, and that you fortify yourself from your enemy shaitan, bin nawafil. Ibn Qayyim, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-fara'id yuqarribuka ila Allah ta'ala, wa nawafil yuhsinuka min aduwik. He said, that the performing of that which is wajib upon you, from the five daily prayers and from fasting and so on and so forth, he says, that which will bring you closer to Allah. But the performing of the extra acts of worship is that which will protect you from your enemy. And he said, and no, that the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla is commanded with that which is wajib, and is commanded with that which is recommended to do. And he says, and that is because the wajibat, they're like the yani, your principal in your investment, your principal wealth in your investment. He said, so you have to guard that principal investment that you put in, that initial money that you put in, because that's all you have. And he said, and it's the nawafil, that which you add to your investment and you top it up, which is that which will make it beneficial and will allow it to transcend to the next level. Then he quoted the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith al-Qudsi, ma taqarrab ilayya al-mutaqarribun bimithli ma ada yani ma iftaratu alayhim, that the servants, they have never sought nearness to me with anything greater except from that which I have yani made obligatory upon them from the fara'id. And the servant, he remains seeking nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal bin Nawafil with those extra actions until he subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the servant until the end of the hadith. And ultimately, all of this goes back to the muraqabah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the servant, he witnesses and he realizes that he has a Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala that watches over him. And Ibn Qayyim, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَلَنْ تَصِلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الطَّالِبْ إِلَىٰ قِيَامِ بِأَوَامِرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ إِلَّا بِمُرَاقَبَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ قَبْلَ فِي قَلْبِكَ وَجَوَارِحِكَ وَفِي لَحْذَاتِكَ وَأَنْفَاسِكَ. He said that actually you'll never be able to establish the commands of Allah up until you are completely aware of the fact that Allah watches you and you're aware of this inside of your heart. And this is a testify to you upon your limbs and in every single moment that you find yourself and every single breath. So from the time that you wake up in the morning until you go to bed at night, be aware that He subhanahu wa ta'ala watches you. And that He Jalla Jalalu knows what is in your hidden and inner self. And He's mushrif ala zahirik wa batinik. And He sees that which is apparent and that which remains hidden. So He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, so there is nobody in the heavens or in the earth that moves or is still, except that He subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows of them. So know that you have a king subhanahu wa ta'ala who is over you. The one who is irresistible subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows that which is from the deception of the eye and the flickering of the eye. That there is not a leaf that falls down upon the earth except that he knows of it subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, فَتَأَدَّبْ أَيُّهَا الْمِسْكِينَ. He said, so oh lowly one, have good manners. Behave yourself. He says, behave yourself. ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا بَيْنَ يَدِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَتَأَدَّبَ الْعَبْدِ الذَّلِيلِ الْمُذْنِبِ فِي حَضَرَةِ الْمَلِكِ الْجَبَّارِ الْقَهَارِ. So behave yourself. Remember, O servant of Allah, that you are nothing other than that. You are a lowly servant, full of sin and transgression. And you are in front of a Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a king, irresistible, jala jalalu. Then he said something amazing. And he said, وَاشْتَهِدْ أَلَّا يَرَاكَ مَوْلَاكَ حَيْثُ نَهَاكَ وَأَلَّا يُفْقِدُكَ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكَ. And he said, and do not allow your Lord to gaze upon you in a situation in that which he is prohibited. And do not allow him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to find you where he has commanded you. Unlike this was the example of the messenger. الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. The one who sees you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you stand at night and pray. وَتَقَلُّبُكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ. And he sees you as you traverse amongst the believers as they pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَلَنْ تَقْدِرْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ إِلَّا بِتَوَزِّعْ أَوْقَاتِكَ. You'll never be able to establish this level of muraqabah, this level of accountability that Allah sees you, until you allot and fix your schedule and your time. So you organize yourself from the morning until the end. You are servant of Allah, obligated to do certain things. He says, so place that between your eyes. He says, from the time that you wake up, all of the time, and to the time that you go to bed, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that this muraqabah of Allah, this witnessing the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you, is that which should bring about shyness and should bring about tranquility, and that you should be increased of your love of Him. And you are shy of the fact that He pardons you and He allows you to do what you do. And you love Him because He's the one that has promised His reward. So you humble yourself before Him in glorification of Him, in hope of His reward, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that you do so by performing righteous good deeds. And he says, and in reality, this level of accountability is the origin of all of the actions in Islam. They go back to one hadith and one statement, which is a statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is involved in every action that you perform. And ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah, is that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see Him. And if you can't, then it's to know that He jalla jalalu sees you. And to end, from that which the servant he prepares to meet his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala with upon this ultimate journey and return, is that which is reported on the authority of Abi Musa al-Ash'ari. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala adulluka ala kanz min kunuz al-jannah. Should I not inform you about a treasure chest from the treasure chest of Jannah itself? He said, bala ya Rasulullah, of course. Qala qul, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Say constantly that there is no power and there is no might except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with Him subhanahu. And it was reported from Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ahabba an tasurruhu sahifatuhu falyukthir fiha min al-istighfar. Whoever desires that he meets Allah Azza wa Jal and he's pleased with what is inside of his scroll of deeds, let him meet Allah Azza wa Jal, having asked the forgiveness of Allah Jalla Jalalu much, and is reported by Bayhaqi, and is declared Hasan by Shaykh Albani. And Abdullah ibn Busr radiallahu ta'ala an said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tuba liman wajada fi sahifatihi istighfaran kathiran. Give glad tidings of paradise itself and safety from the fire. The one that finds inside of his scroll of deeds the performing of much and asking of much istighfar, asking Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness. And when it's the case that you feel that you have been pushed against the wall, and as they say, you're between a rock and a hard place, know that it's the istighfar of Allah to beg Him for His mercy and His forgiveness is that which will grant you success. And He specified, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the women, because all of us are servants to Allah Azza wa Jalla alike. And He said, Ya ma'ashara nisa, tasaddaqna wa akthir al-istighfar. He said, oh, congregation of women, give charity and increase in your asking Allah Azza wa Jalla for His forgiveness. And like this, it was narrated from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أكثر من استغفار جعل الله تعالى له من كل هم فرجا. Though whoever does a lot of istighfar, Allah will allow him to find a way out from every kind of sorrow that may touch him and trial that may afflict him. وَمِن كُلِّ دِيكٍ مَخْرَجًا وَرِزْقًا مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And that he'll be granted a provision from where he could never possibly imagine. You don't need to do haram to earn the dunya. You don't need to do haram to obtain that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has made halal for you. Make istighfar. So prepare. Finally prepare with that accountability to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And ask yourself what you have done. And we end upon the statement, actually two statements. Where Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was upon his deathbed and he asked, Ma yubkika ya Abu Huraira? What is it that causes you to cry, oh Abu Huraira, the most prolific of memorizers of hadith from the Sahaba, asked by his students from the Salaf, why are you crying? He says, Amma inni la'uki ala dunyakum hadhihi. I'm not crying over the departure of this worldly life of yours. He says, Walakin abki li bu'di safari wa qillati zadi. He said, rather I cry over the fact that this journey that is before me that I'm ultimately upon remains far, and I've not taken much upon this journey of mine. He says, Wasbahtu fi su'udin muhbata ala jannatin aw nar fala adari ila ayyuhuma yusrak bi. And he said, and I woke up this morning. Look at our salaf. Look at the ibadah of these men that Allah Azza wa Jalla was pleased with, and he's pleased with them. He said, I woke up this morning. He said, and it's as if I was, you know, flung to the sky. I don't know whether it's the case that I'm going to Jannah or it's the case that I'm going to the fire, and which of those two paths will take me and snatch me. So they feared for themselves. Su'ul Khatima. They feared for themselves that they would not have a goodly end. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And from the greatest of reasons and preparations in the hereafter is to obey Allah Azza wa Jalla and obey the Messenger. He said, جَلَّ جَلَالُ مَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. He said, جَلَّ جَلَالُ, whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, they will be with, in reward, with the prophets themselves, the ones that were truthful with Allah, the martyrs and the righteous, and they are the best of any companions to have. And it was narrated that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to cry when he heard the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. How will they be when you sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be brought forth as a witness for them or against them? How will they be? He told Ibn Mas'ud, stop. Stop your recitation. Enough. He said, Hasbuk. Then he said, radiallahu ta'ala an, idha aynahu tadrifan. And when I gazed at him, his eyes had swelled with tears flowing from his face. Wa dumu'u tasil. Ibn Battal, he explained of Bukhari, he said about this hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried at this point. لِأَنَّهُ مَثَّلَ لِنَفْسِهِ أَهْوَالِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Because he sallallahu alaihi wasallam put himself of those that will stand in front of Allah يوم القيامة. وَشِدَّةِ الْحَالَ الدَّاعِيَ لَهُ وَشَهَادَتِهِ لِأُمَّتِهِ بِتَصْدِيقِهِ وَإِيمَانِ بِهِ. And he realized that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to be brought forward for them to testify whether we believed in him and what iman was. And that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be asked to make shafa'ah on our account and behalf. لِيُرِيحَهُمْ sallallahu alaihi wasallam مِنْ تُورِ الْوُقُوفِ. That perhaps by his asking, he'll grant them a respite from the tremendous long time that they are standing. وَأَهْوَالِهِ, and the terrors of that day. وَهَذَا الْأَمَرُ يُحِقْ لَهُ طُولِ الْبُكَاءِ. So when one looks at this affair, and he looks at the terrors of يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, this is sufficient for a person to cry much, and to be sad, and to grieve. And ultimately that will happen when we visit the graves. And Abu Huraira, he said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, that indeed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited a grave, the grave of his mother. فَبَكَى وَأَبْكَى مَنْ حَوْلَهُ. So he began to cry, and everybody that was with him began to cry. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, إِسْتَذَنْتُ رَبِّي فِي أَنَ أَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهَا فَلَمْ يُؤْذَنْ لِي. Look at the servitude of the Messenger, pleased with the decree of Allah, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla every opportunity. He said that I asked the permission of my Lord to ask forgiveness for my mother, who was a kafira. And he did not grant me permission to make dua for her forgiveness. Was that then to who? Fi an azur qabraha fa adhina li. He said, and I asked permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I may visit her grave at the very least. And he permitted me to visit her grave. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fazur al-qubur fa innaha tudhakkir al-maut. He said, so visit the graves, because it will remind you of death, and it will increase you in certainty. And like this, he mentioned subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is that reality? And he said, jalla jalalu, fahal yanthurun illa sa'a an ta'tiyahum baghtatan faqad jaa ashratuha fa'anna lahum idha ja'at dhikrahum. He said that certainly, is it the case that they wait for yawm al-qiyamah literally to fall upon them, and then they will obtain a reminder? Rather, the prerequisites of the hour and the signs of the hour have already come, and their mention and reminder and point of return has ended. And Imam al-Si'di, he said, do they wait for the hour that it comes upon them suddenly whilst they do not perceive it? Because the signs of the hour have already come, and the only one that will obtain benefit is the one that prepared for that time. As for when death comes to you, and you stand in front of your Lord and it's too late, there is no time to remember. There is no time to prepare. Then he said something amazing, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, فَفِيهِ فَفِي هَذَا حَثٌ عَلَى إِسْتِعْدَادِ قَبْلَ الْمُفَاجَأَ الْمَوْتِ. Inside of this, the mention of the hour is an encouragement of every servant to prepare for the sudden nature of death. فَإِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الْإِنسَانِ قِيَامْ سَاعَتُهُ. Because when you die, that is when your hour has been established. وعن براء بن عازب عن براء بن عازب he said, كنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في جنازة فجلس على شفير قبر فبكى حتى بلى أو بلى الثرى. Then the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, we were with him upon occasion in a janazah, and he sat صلى الله عليه وسلم at the edge of the grave, and he began to cry. And he cried and he cried so much, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the earth beneath his feet, the soil, became wet. ثم قال وفي لفظ التفت إلينا. Then he turned to us and he said to us, يا إخواني لمثل هذا اليوم فعدوا. Oh my brothers, for the like of this day, when you're placed in your grave, prepare. وهذا والله تعالى أعلم وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.